Well, it is time for us to study the Word of God again this morning, and I hope everyone is doing well and finding ways to go about your lives as best as you can, as normal as you can. But I know we are all missing being together with one another, and if there is any needs that need to be met, or if anyone has, please let us know before our lesson. Over the past couple of lessons, we have examined a few of the things that are really fundamental in the hope that we have as Christians. Things that we really build our faith upon, right? We looked at a couple of weeks ago the resurrection of Christ. How if that never happened, if that didn't happen, then all that we believe would be in vain. It would be worthless. And then we also looked at last week the Bible itself, the Word of God itself. And this morning we're going to look at another aspect, another thing that we build our faith upon. Throughout the ages, throughout all of the world, people have had and will continue to have different beliefs regarding God, regarding a God, regarding deities in general, a being or beings of divine nature. There are many who believe in the God of the Bible. But there are also many who believe in Allah, right? The Muslims. Some will even try to say Allah and the God of the Bible are one and the same, but that is not the case, as they are portrayed very differently. There are some who believe in many gods, a plurality of deities, right? Hinduism is all about a multiplicity of gods, a vast number of gods. And then you have various groups of people who fall between those areas. And of course, you have those who just outright reject all of it, right? Who do not believe in the God of the Bible or any divine creator or divine being at all. They reject the entire notion that there's any kind of supernatural divine origin to all that exists. And when we think about this, right, in each of these groups, what do they build themselves upon? Right? What do we build ourselves upon, right? What do Muslims build themselves on, right? Muslims, one of the reasons they're going to hold to what they believe is because they truly believe that Allah is the one true God. Those who believe in no God, they build themselves upon any number of things. Science, the intellectual understanding that they themselves have, their intellect, their wisdom, the wisdom of man, wealth perhaps, the things of the world. Hinduism, again, is going to be built upon the fact that there's a multiplicity of deities. But we as Christians, we build ourselves upon the belief, upon the fact that God is, right? That the God of the Bible is, just period, full stop. We build ourselves upon the fact that God is, that He exists, that He is the only, the one and only true God, as we talked about last week, that this Bible that we have is His Word, and within these pages we have a message from God as to what He desires from us and what He expects from us, and that is what we're going to look at this morning, right? The God Himself, right? If the God of the Bible does not exist, or if He is not the one true God, then all that we do is pointless. All that we believe and follow is of no value, right? I have mentioned it before when we were examining the Bobby Bates series, right? The Back to the Bible series of Bible studies. When we examine those, when we go and study with someone, or if we want to have a study with someone, right? We have to be on the same page with them with regards to God. You and whoever it is you're studying with, you have to both be on the same page that the God of the Bible is the God of heaven and earth, right? If you're talking about the God of the Bible and they're talking about some other God, then you're going to have a very hard time getting anywhere, right? We have to, this is one of the most fundamental aspects of our faith. We build our hope and our faith upon the fact that God, or that the God of the Bible is, that He is God, right? A verse that we quote quite frequently and that really sums up this idea quite nicely is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 begins with a discourse on faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Faith is the manifestation of the hope that we have, but it's not a blind faith, right? The hope that we have is manifest in our faith, but it's not a blind faith. It is built upon evidences, right? We don't see God, right? We don't see a fleshly being of God. We were not witness to the great works that he wrought at the beginning of all things, right? The creation, we didn't see all of that. We didn't see the great miracles he wrought for Israel in leading them out of Egypt or throughout the conquest or even to the miracles of Christ and the apostles. We didn't see those things, but nevertheless, we have our faith built upon the evidences that are presented in his word and the evidences that we see in the world around us. We see God. And so it is not a blind faith. And so our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made, the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible, right? We get to see that all around us, the creation of all things. And then we come to verse 4, where we have we begin a series of statements regarding the faith of individuals who found favor in the sight of God, right? By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the list goes on, right? You go throughout this chapter, you go on, you know, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and it goes on. But consider here verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, right? This is the verse that pertains to what we are considering this morning. Consider verse 6, right? These that we see spoken of, they found favor in the eyes of God through their faith, through their obedient faith. And look at what verse 6 says of Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All right, this verse here, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, this is what we build our faith upon, right? We build our faith upon that the fact that without faith, there is no hope. Not faith alone. We know we're not talking about faith alone, but it is a building block leading us to obediently following through with what we find in the rest of God's word, right? That's the last part of the verse there, right? Verse 6, right? Diligently seeking him. That's part of an obedient faith. But without faith in God, there's absolutely no hope. We must believe that what? That God is, right? That's what I mentioned before, right? We believe that God is, period, full stop. We must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. These are two fundamental aspects of our faith. Holding both of those beliefs in mind will lead us to diligently seeking after him, to desiring to get into his word and doing what we find there. If we lack either of these things, then we won't do anything, right? If we do not believe that God is, then we won't do anything that is found in his word, right? Right? If we don't believe that God is, then we are not going to diligently seek him. Likewise, if we do not believe that God is a rewarder of those who do diligently seek him, then we wouldn't. Right? If we don't believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him, then we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't diligently seek him. We wouldn't do anything we find in the Bible. Right? If we just believed that God is, that he exists, yeah, sure, you know, he's the one, but heaven and hell, a reward, consequences, you know, I don't really believe that. I don't really think that, you know, there is an eternal reward. If we don't believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him, then we wouldn't diligently seek him. And that This, unfortunately, is where many fall in. Many in our world fall. This is the category that many fall into. Those who believe that, maybe there's a God. Sure, God exists. They may profess even a belief in the God of the Bible. But that's as far as they go. They don't take that next step into diligently seeking Him. They may say, we're just all taking different roads to the same destination. God doesn't really care what you do as long as you're doing something. Right? That's not diligently seeking Him. If we truly do believe in the God of the Bible, then we will follow through with the things found in the Bible. Because as we touched on last week, that is how we learn about God. That is how we learn about who God is. That is where we learn about how it is that we can be pleasing in His sight. We can't know God, nor can we find favor in His sight without getting into His Word. And when we turn to the pages of the Bible, continuing with this idea of God just in general being that fundamental aspect of our faith, of what we build our hope on, when we turn to the pages of the Bible, we learn right away that God is. Right? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God. Again, full stop, period. Right? In the beginning, God. That statement right there is what we build our hopes upon. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, bang. Not in the beginning, a pantheon or a multiplicity of gods. Not in the beginning, nothing. Or in the beginning, we don't know. No, it's in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe and we hold dearly this very fact. This very thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We then think of Exodus chapter 3 as Moses is before the burning bush. Moses was concerned, right, with how in the world am I going to go to the Israelites and relay this message to them? Why would they believe me? What am I going to tell them so that they would believe me? Right, verse 13, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, Moses says, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? Who am I to say sent me? And then we see in verse 14, that very thing that we believe and that we hold dear. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am. God, the God of the Bible, the God that we love, the God that we serve, He has no beginning. He has no end, right? He was not preceded by some other God, nor is He succeeded by some other God. God is. And this is, of course, exactly what Jesus would declare thousands of years later in John chapter 8, right? John chapter 8 and verse 48, before Abraham was, I am, right? Declaring that He has equality, He is equal with God, that He is God. And if we don't believe this, there is no hope. Psalm 14 and verse 1 tells us where we stand if we don't believe this very thing. Psalm 14, 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. If we don't believe that God is, if we don't believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of him who diligently seeks Him, then we are foolish. And we cannot draw near to Him. And we cannot grow. We cannot be right in His eyes or pleasing in His sight ever if we do not believe that He is. This is, again, just one of those things that at its very core, this is what we build our faith upon. This is a fundamental building block of our faith. Think about all of the implications that exist if instead of God is, we have God is not. Right? Think about all of the implications that follow if instead of God is, we have God is not. Just one extra word in there, right? That's the same thing Satan did in the garden, right? All he had to do was add that one little word, change that one little thing. You know, you shall not surely die. That's one little change. What is the result of the belief that God is not? The result is the very world around us, right? The result is a world where sin runs rampant. If God is not, if we believe that God is not, then what is right and wrong? If we don't have any moral standard of what right and wrong is, what then exists? Confusion? What exists? What exists is what we find in the book of Judges, that every man does what is right in his own eyes. And what is right in man's eyes? What is, why is something right? Why is something wrong? None of it matters. Right? If God is not in our minds, then why does right and wrong even matter? If God is not, and in the beginning was not God, and we are just some intelligent ape, and we are no different than the animals, then why should human life matter? Right, if there's no reward awaiting us after this life, right? If God is not, and He is not a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and there is no reward awaiting us after this life, or rather, if there's no reward or punishment awaiting us after this life because God is not, then who cares what we do? Right? Who cares how we live? Let us all instead just eat, drink, and be merry. Let us all do what we want, when we want, how we want, and live for pleasure, and live for self. What is the result of such a mindset? Sin. Sin running rampant in the world. Right? Theft. What about theft? You know, why would I have a problem with it? Because I don't care about you as a person. I have wants. I have needs. And they're more important than you. Murder, for the same reason. Right? I don't care about your life. It doesn't matter to me because I am more important than you, because human life is devalued when we have no moral standard. Right? Consider the rampant and horrendous numbers of abortion that occur in our nation and throughout the world. Why? Because I want to live my life the way I want to live it. Right? I want to sleep with whoever I want, however often I want, and without any repercussions. Instead of making the choice to not have sex, I'm going to make the choice instead to end the life growing inside me because I don't want the responsibility that comes with a child. I don't want my life to be changed. I don't want to give up the way I live my life now, and you have no right to tell me otherwise. When God is denied, when the mindset is God is not, sin runs rampant. And the world, unfortunately, the world will never change if they do not come to the knowledge of the truth of God. Right? Proverbs 1 and verse 7, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Without these things, without a fear of God, right, which precludes the fact that there is a God, right? You have to believe that there is a God to have a fear of God. So without these things, without an acknowledgement of God, without a fear of Him, without a reverence and respect for Him, sin will continue to run rampant throughout our world. As Christians, we believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without that belief, without that faith, without that understanding, we end up with exactly what we see in the world all around us. Our faith in God, that He is, that leads us to a life that, through diligently seeking Him, is far above that of the standards of man. It's far above the standards of the world. And our faith in God, it gives us the hope that we have for an eternal reward someday. If you are hearing this lesson and you have never considered how important it is that we have faith in God and that we not just believe that He exists, but that we diligently seek after Him, and you've gone through life only concerned with what you think is right or what the world says is right and not what God says, and you'd like to study these things more, we would love to study with you so that you can see for yourself and come to the knowledge of the one true God and the hope for eternal life that exists in following after Him. Right? To begin with, as we have seen today, there has to be that fear of God. There has to be that belief in Him, that faith in Him. There has to be that fear and reverence and respect for Him. Because that is the beginning of wisdom. That is the beginning of knowledge. Right? Coming to the understanding of the true nature of God and following after Him is at the very core of our existence. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. And so it is that at our very core, at the very core of what we are to do in this life, at the very core of what we are to do and how to be pleasing in His sight is to follow after God. And so in order to be pleasing in His sight, there are a few things that you must do. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to hear the Word of God in order, as we talked about earlier, in order to know Him, in order to know what He expects of us and wants of us. We have to truly get into His Word and learn of Him. Only then can we come to, as we've looked at today, the belief, the acknowledgement and belief and faith in Him that He is who He says He is. We have to believe also that Christ is the Son of God, right? Well, if we believe that God is who He says He is, we're going to go, as we looked at last week, we're going to go to His Word and see what He expects of us in His Word. We're going to believe what we find in His Word. And what we find in His Word is that Jesus is the Son of God. And we must believe that. John 8 and verse 24 tells us that, I said unto you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If we don't believe that Christ is the Son of God, that He is that Jesus is the Messiah, we will die in our sins. We also have to repent of our sins, right? That's not, we can't simply be sorry for them. We have to truly turn away from them, make changes in our lives according to the will of God, according to what we find in the Word of God. Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have to confess Christ before men, not just at one point in our life, but throughout our life. We must continually confess Christ before men. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, if we confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made into salvation. We have to confess that He is the Son of God, and we also then must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. Right? This is what puts us in contact with the blood of Christ, and this is what allows us to be in Christ, where all spiritual blessings exist, where salvation is found, where we gain the benefit of the blood that was shed on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us that there is an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? It's not just a matter of getting wet. Right? It is the answer of a good conscience. It's following through with what God has said because we love Him, because we have a faith in Him. It's following through with what He has told us to do in Scripture. And after this, we have to continually be faithful unto death, as Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us. Only then will we receive a crown of life. And if you would like to study these things, if you would you want to look into these things more, we would love to study with you. If you're ready to turn to Christ and put Him on in baptism and make changes in your life and admit that God is and that His way is the only way, and you are ready to put the sins of the world behind you and have them washed away in the blood of Christ by being immersed into Christ through baptism for the remission of sins, we can make that happen right away. If you've already obeyed the gospel and have strayed from the truth, or if you're needing the prayers of the congregation, if you have any need at all, please make it known. The lesson is yours.